We're now about to begin the first two Mishnayos in the third chapter of Erechin. Just as the previous chapter had a theme of no less or no more, this chapter has a theme of Yesh Bi'Erechin L'Hakel L'Hachmir, that there are areas which have both leniencies and stringencies. And the general principle here is, if there's a fixed amount and it applies to the best or it applies to the worst, the fixed amount to the best is a leniency. He only has to pay a fixed amount. If it's the worst, it's a stringency, because he has to pay that same fixed amount as the best. So the Mishnah says Yesh Bi'Erechin L'Hakel L'Hachmir, and we'll explain after listing the other subjects that the Mishnayos in this parak are going to deal with, that there is an erachin, a stringency and a leniency in the stringency. B'steyachuza lohakel lahachmir. Since each of these will be explained in the oncoming Mishnah, I'll just briefly translate. B'steyachuza is property that was inherited. B'shor hamuad shehemi says oeved lohakel lahachmir. Enoch said gore three times, it killed a Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave. There's a leniency and a stringency. Bionis Mufata, by someone who raped a virgin, a Besula, Mufata, or someone who seduced her, Umotzi Shemra, or a person who reached the final stage of marriage, and soon consummated the marriage and claimed that his wife, in the interim, after the first stage of marriage, which will be explained later on, committed adultery, and she deserves a death penalty, and it's found that it's not so, that she was a besula, that she was a virgin still. And there's a fine there also. There's a leniency and a stringency. And now the Mishnah begins with Erechin. Yesh Bi'Erechin L'Hakel L'Hachmir Ketzad. What's the case when Erechin that there's both a leniency and a stringency? Echot sheriches anor shebi yisrael. If somebody made the following erich type of vow and said his erich, his value is upon me, and assuming, let's say, he's between 20 and 60, where it's 50. So even if the person is the most beautiful, the most handsome, the most perfect individual, still the money is 50. So that's leniency. V'yesakor shebi yisrael. If he took the person who was the most mechur, the most ugly, the most homely, most repulsive person in Israel, and he said, his erich is upon me, that's a chumri. He has to also pay 50. It doesn't make a difference. So it's a leniency by the handsome, beautiful person, and it's a chumra if his erich neder was made vis-a-vis an ugly person, he still has to pay the full 50 sloim. Nosil chamishim sela. However, if he said his value is upon me, he didn't make an erech type of neder, but rather he made a neder in terms of the value of the person, then no sin is shavuyo. Then he has to give his value as assessed by Bezdin. What the value of that person would be if he were to be, let's say, sold on a slave market, whatever. That he would have to give the full value. So for a handsome person, it would be a lot of money, and for a repulsive person, it would be relatively little money. That was Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Beis, b'steyachuz lohakel ulahachmir ketzad. What's the example of lohakel ulahachmir by steyachuz? So echad makdish bechula samachos. It's the same as if one sanctifies a very, very poor piece of land. And the Rav has two explanations. Chulos is fivos, the area surrounding, and mochos generally means a place. So a generic place. The area surrounding a place, those fields are trampled upon. People walk around this population there, so they're not going to be very productive in terms of agriculture. So it's whether he was makdish a field that was surrounding the city, and that's the first shot. And the second shot is that mochos refers to a specific place, Shalohiu Sadoseim Cheshuvim, whose fields were not particularly valued, considered valuable. But it's the same concept. Whether one is Makdish valuable land, Vyechr Makdish Bipar the Sos Sabisti. Sabistu. There are various girsos as to how to read this name. The Rav has with the vav at the end, Sabistu. Shemakum, the Rav says, Vilonos Sham Maulim Maod. It's a certain place whose trees are very, very valuable. They're very fine trees. I saw one parish that says a Sabastu refers to Shomron. Now, there's one difference I should mention by between an orchard and by a field. In redeeming a field, there's a certain amount of money, a fixed amount of money that Torah gives, which we'll go into. And but however, by an orchard, the Rav explains that each tree first is evaluated in terms of its actual value, and then the land is evaluated as a field beside the value of the trees. The value of a field is based upon the following: no same bezera chomris orim chamish meshekel kesef. If one is standing at the beginning of the Shemitah cycle where there are 49 years left, then he has to give, and he's redeeming a field then, 50 shkolim of kesef. A zera chomer sori means land that would produce 30 soas. Chomer is the same as a kur. A kur is 30 soas. Soas is most is a basic element of a volume for seed and produce. So 30 cores of saorim. Saorim is used over here because to produce 30 cores of saorim takes more land than to produce 30 cores of or to sow 30 cores of saorim takes more land than to sow 30 cores of wheat of chitim. So the value of saorim is a larger amount of land that we're talking about. But it doesn't make a difference if the field is a beautiful field, or if it's a, the land is very beautiful and very fertile or not. He gives the value in accordance to the amount of sorim, 30 cores of sorim that could be sown in that parcel, and he gives 50 shkolim for 49 years. And it's prorated as you move further into the Shemitah cycle. Now, ubestay mikna. Now, that's why estay achuza. Estay achuza means land that was inherited. It was family heritage. Bestay mikna no sein eshivuyo. But by estay mikna, he gives not the Torah doesn't give a valuation, but rather the kohenim come and evaluate. Since it's a matter of hektish, they come and evaluate. And the value of the field as the as fields are appraised. So Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Echad Stei Achuza V'Echad Stei Mikne. There's no difference between a Stei Achuza, an inheritance, and a field that's purchased afterwards. Ma ben Stei Achuza L'Stei Mikne. But the Torah does make a distinction. What is that distinction? Elisha B'Stei Achuza No Sein Chomesh. If a person redeems his own heritage, he has to pay an additional 25%. 25% of the original principal, or 20% of the, that's why it says the fifth. Chomesh really means a fifth of the new balance. If so, if the field was worth 100, he has to pay 125. 25 is one fifth of 125. So by estei achuza he gives a fifth, the additional fifth. Ubestei mikna eino nosin chomesh. But by estei mikna he doesn't. But a acquired field he doesn't have to give a chomesh. This concept of chomesh appears other places. And by the way, the halach is not like Rebbe Eliezer, but appears in other places. For instance, if a person redeems his own meiser sheni to take it to Yerushalayim, he has to add the additional fifth, meaning a quarter of the original principal. If somebody else redeems his Meiser Sheni, he doesn't have to add the fifth. But again, the halacha here is not like Rebbe Eliezer, it's like the Tanna Kamma, that a stay mikna, a field that is acquired, is evaluated, whereas a stay achuz is based upon the formula of the Torah of Zerichomis Arim for 49 years is Chamishim Shekel Kesef. and prorated the, you know, if the redemption takes place later into the Shemitah cycle, we'll have fewer years of use of the field. That was Mishnah Aleph and Beis of the third Perek.